Hello, I'm Ben Matthews and welcome to this week's Liverpool Life podcast. On today's show, we'll hear updates from on closures of popular Liverpool nightclubs.
I think we'll go forward, this venue would go forward, and it could be a better place for people to visit, because we don't want people leaving this city saying, it's Drugfield, it's this, it's that. We want them to come here and say, what a great city, and we are a great city.
Plus, we'll have reaction to a former Beatle who released tickets for a homecoming concert.
I tried yesterday online, but it's just impossible. Help, I need somebody, help, get me a ticket, help.
We'll also have a full sports roundup in a week where the England cricket team suffered a humiliating blow. But first, clubbers in Liverpool this week learnt the fate of their go-to places after a number of hearings at the Town Hall. Garlands and Lomax were closed last month following police raids, but Garlands will reopen in May. Our reporter, Lewis Miller, has been getting the reaction.
Garlands and Lomax Club were both raided as part of the same operation by Merseyside Police, and were both shut down for a period of 3 months. Meetings this week, which have taken place at Liverpool Town Hall in front of a licensing committee, has given their verdict as to what should happen after the 3 month suspension expires. Garlands will remain closed until Thursday, May 21st, but is free to reopen after this period, subject to applying certain measures to prevent drugs being sold in the club. However, on Tuesday, Lomax Club had its licence revoked by the committee after it was revealed that the premises had been used as a selling point for Class A drugs, and the club's managers will now have to reapply for a new licence. On Monday, several protesters marched from Garlands on Ebor Street to the Town Hall hoping to save the historic nightclub, which was raided by police last month after an undercover investigation revealed that Class A drugs were being sold in the club. Fans spoke to Liverpool Life before the meeting on Monday and were optimistic about the club's future.
As Garlands, you're free, and you're free to do anything. There's drugs everywhere, and it's completely a massive problem, but the police need to stop trying to hide away from the problem of bringing it into Liverpool completely.
It's just regarding the reopening of Garlands, which has acted as such a safe haven for the clubbers of Liverpool for 20 years. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it goes in the right direction today. Hopefully, but at the end of the day, what's happened with Garlands happens all over the country. It's not just in Garlands, it's all over the country, and it's something that it's not going to take a lot more to stamp out. It's been going on for years and years. Years and years, since the 60s and 70s, do you know what I mean? And it happens all over the world, so hopefully the Garlands work with the police and the council, and yeah.
That was the views of some of the protesters before the Garlands meeting on Monday. Some of the campaigners were allowed into the meeting, along with the panel and representatives of Garlands, to discuss measures to ensure a safe environment. The hearing, which lasted just over an hour, concluded with the committee allowing the club to reopen after its closure order, subject to several measures. Councillor Christine Banks, who chaired the committee, said that she was happy with the overall outcome.
The decision that was made today, I mean, actually the police and the club owners had got together previously to come here this morning, which is a good, positive thing, because we're not here to close venues down. We're here to make this city a safer city for people to visit. And that's what it's all about. Unfortunately, it took 12 months for them to get together. I think if they'd got together 6 months ago, we wouldn't have been here today. I think the positive stuff that's come out of the management and the people is the drugs policy, the conditions they brought to the table, which we didn't have to. They brought it to us, so we've agreed with them. And I think we'll go forward. This venue would go forward, and it could be a better place for people to visit, because we don't want people leaving this city saying, it's drug-fueled, it's this, it's that. We want them to come here and say, what a great city, and we are a great city, and it's a safe city, and we like to go to this venue, that venue, and working together with the police and the venues, I think it's the most positive thing. Well, the conditions they've come to is remove the DPS, remove the security firm that they have, ultraviolet lights, because if anyone's took drugs, it shows up. If you took cocaine, it shows up. It's like when you've got a dog. If I went into now at all, dandruff, showing up there. So it's stuff like that. The conditions of covering the toilets and a better CCTV system. It's all about safety and public protection. I mean, it's one of the venues that people keep... I've never been in it, but people keep telling me it's one of the safest places to go. And, you know, let's keep it that way. Let's get rid of this drug culture.
That was Councillor Banks, who was chair of the licensing committee for Liverpool. Part owner of Garlands, John Cummings, released a statement saying that safety is their main priority.
Garlands is synonymous with Liverpool nightlife and has contributed massively to acceptance of minority groups in the city of Liverpool. The club has been under the same management for 21 years with very few problems. The safety of its customers is paramount to the management, and the clientele reiterate how safe an environment it has been. I still believe that with more foresight from both the police and ourselves, this situation could have been avoided. We look forward to the future working together with the authorities to continue to create a haven for art, culture, acceptance and inclusiveness, where people can be who they want to be. Okay. Garland's made me do it. Thank you.
That was owner John Cummings speaking after the hearing. Despite the club remaining shut for the time being, Save Garland's campaigners were pleased with the overall verdict.
Yeah, it's only 3 months, but you know, we'll be back bigger and better, you know. Yeah. So I'm very pleased with the decision, you know, because on the end of the day, let's face it, I think the club did need more preventions that just like turn up with 140 policemen, you know. It's hard to control everyone, you know, inside the toilets. It's not CCTV, you know. So really, I truly believe, you know, it's this issue, it's everywhere. Yeah. And it's not just in one club.
The owners of Lomax weren't so optimistic about their future after its licence was revoked by the committee on Tuesday. Licensing consultant for Lomax Club, Carl Barry, said that they want to find a remedy for this problem and the wrong people had been punished.
That was Lewis Miller on the situation concerning Liverpool nightclubs. A new report from the Centre for Economics and Business Research has revealed that consumers prefer to work with businesses employing apprenticeships. The report was launched as part of National Apprenticeship Week, and Hugh Baird College in Liverpool is one of a few venues in the city to be hosting events to promote the benefits of apprenticeships. Luke Holliday spoke to the Assistant Principal for Business Development at the college, Mark Mountfield.
So how important do you think apprenticeships are for young people in the area?
Well, apprenticeships for the area are quite significant. It's a great opportunity for people of all ages, particularly young people, to get into the job market. More and more employers are using the apprenticeship opportunity to recruit young people and to provide employment.
So do you think business should be doing more to promote them?
Yeah, it would be useful if more and more businesses could consider, when they have vacancies within their organisation, the opportunity for someone to join their business to gain additional skills through the apprenticeship route. There's an opportunity for businesses who are maybe engaging with subcontractors to put a caveat in the contract that X number of apprentices should be employed on the job, as long as the length of the job satisfies the apprenticeship requirements.
What do you think it could do for an area such as Liverpool?
Well, that's a difficult one, really, because I think the apprenticeships are there to create jobs and for skills. I'm not sure it would have a direct area impact on the area. What would be good is if the area somehow came up with a collective agreement that X number of apprentices would be employed within a period of time. Some areas of the country have done an initiative called 100 in 100, where they've thrown down the gauntlet from the LEP maybe, or the council, that businesses should recruit 100 apprentices in 100 days, and then the training providers have assisted with that. That's something that may have been done in the area, or something that could be redone in the area.
We'll hope maybe able to touch on apprenticeships for older adults. Should that be promoted?
Yeah, that is promoted, actually. There's no upper age limit on apprenticeship. I think in the spirit of it, from a government point of view, it is aimed at job creation for younger people, but there is no upper limit. There are apprentices in the 60s who have used the apprenticeship programme to reskill and have done quite well out of it.
There was a report that suggested people look more fondly on businesses who employ apprenticeships.
It's in the spirit, really, of job creation to use the apprenticeship programme. It's not the only programme that can be used for job creation, but I think there's some sectors where the workforce is ageing, and bringing younger people in through the apprenticeship route is beneficial. And I think it's credible to the businesses. I mean, the big businesses in the region, like Jaguar, for example, big apprenticeship programme. It's all credit to them for using the apprenticeship programme for what it was designed for.
That was Luke Holliday talking to Mike Mountfield, who is the Assistant Principal for Business Development at the Hugh Baird College in Liverpool. Now, a dog charity has condemned the apparent poisoning of a dog competing at the Crufts Festival last weekend. Jagger returned home to Belgium only to die after after it is suspected he ate poisoned beef at the festival in Birmingham. Dan O'Brien has more.
The Irish setter Jagger, who finished second in her category at the event in Birmingham over the weekend, could have been poisoned by contaminated beef at the festival. Co-owners Jeremy and Dee Milligan-Bott said they are devastated following the death of Jagger at her home in Belgium over the weekend. This comes after a second Irish setter in the same category as Jagger was reported being violently ill earlier this week. The Kennel Club spokesperson Caroline Kisco said the organisation is devastated by Jagger's death.
The Kennel Club is deeply shocked and saddened to hear that Jagger, the Irish setter, died some 26 hours after leaving Crufts. We've spoken to his owners and our heartfelt sympathies go out to them.
A toxicology report is due to be carried out on Jagger and results should be released within the next week. West Midlands Police are currently not looking into Jagger's death at present as suspicious, but may launch an investigation should the toxicology report come back positive.
That was Dan O'Brien with the report on the alleged poisoning of a dog at Crufts. Still to come on the show, we've got reaction from those who queued to get a ticket for a very special homecoming concert for a former Beatle.
Sorry, about 10 to 7 this morning. We tried yesterday online, but it's just impossible. Help, I need somebody, help, get me a ticket, help.
For more on all the latest news, sport, entertainment, views and reviews, bookmark jmu-journalism.org.uk.
David Cameron's planning to more than double the number of free schools by opening more than 500 if the Tories win their next election. The Prime Minister set out the details of the final 49 free schools agreed for the current Parliament this week before promising the expansion. The policy is controversial because some free schools have opened in areas where there are already enough school places. And in shock news, Jeremy Clarkson is at 50-1 odds to be the next editor of the Liverpool Echo. After his recent spat between the Echo over the derogatory comments he made about Liverpool in his Sunday Times column, the TV motormouth has been suspended from hit BBC Two show Top Gear. A statement said he was involved in a fracas with a producer. As the countdown to the general election reaches the 7 weeks point, the campaigns really come into focus for that date of May the 7th. This weekend sees the Liberal Democrats bring their spring conference to Liverpool. Our reporter Luke Holliday joins me now. What will the Liberal Democrats be talking about at the conference at the weekend?
Well, there's no doubt that the Lib Dems have taken a battering from all sides since they went into coalition with the Conservatives in 2010. But the voters seem to be abandoning them daily, which is reflected in the polls. They've been behind UKIP for a while now, but the Greens are also seem to have been catching up with them. The message to the country will be that without the Lib Dems in government, the severity of the cuts would have been far worse, and going into the election, they will probably push this message that they will cut less than the Tories but spend less than Labour.
So what's the current standard in Liverpool?
It's clear now that Labour is concretely a Labour city, and there doesn't seem to be any indications of that changing anytime soon. If we look first at the current Liverpool City Council, the election in 2014 saw the Lib Dems lose 6 of their seats, and more importantly, the Greens moved ahead of them, gaining 2 more seats. The cuts have hit the people of Liverpool hard, and many place much of that blame on the Liberal Democrats in government. Even after all this bad publicity, though, it's still likely that the Lib Dems will be the main opposition to Labour in Liverpool, along with the Greens.
Let's talk more about the Greens then. What's their standing going into May's elections?
Well, much has been made of the backlash towards the main political parties in the UK. And on the right, we've seen UKIP grow at an immense rate, really, so that they firmly sit third in every poll. This doesn't seem to be reflected in Liverpool voters' minds, however, and this so-called green surge from the left is more likely to attract Liverpool votes. Last weekend saw them bring their spring conference to Liverpool, where the message was, vote for the politics of the future. Following the Green leader Natalie Bennett's car crash interviews with Andrew Neil and Nick Ferrari, the party also received some criticism from Liverpool council members at the annual budget meeting, with Mayor Joe Anderson branding them militants in sandals.
Thanks for that, Luke. And finally, tickets for a one-off Sir Paul McCartney concert in Liverpool have sold out in extraordinary time. The former Beatle had fans camping out overnight in a bid to buy tickets for the show. Our reporter Camille Norani has been out and about speaking to fans.
Priority tickets sold out in a phenomenal pre-sale. The gig is one of just three in the UK. I went down to the Echo Arena and spoke to fans who have been happy to queue overnight in the cold weather.
Come from Newcastle this morning, 4 o'clock.
Probably about 10 to 7 this morning. We tried yesterday online, but it's just impossible. So I've come down in the hope of getting the ticket. The man's an icon, you know. Goodness knows how many times you'll get an opportunity to see him again, and hopefully he will be round again. But you've got to grab it with both hands and get here and get a ticket. Help! I need somebody. Help! Get me a ticket. Help!
I've been here since 5 o'clock this morning, something like that. I think the weather's bad, but it doesn't matter about the weather. I've got about 4 or 5 layers on. I've got my gloves on, I've got my hat on, so I'm warm, something like that. I'm warm in spirit. So I said the important thing is sort of trying to get tickets to see Paul McCartney. He's been such an ambassador for Liverpool, phenomenal musician. So it's worth the wait, and I'm looking forward to getting in and getting my hands on the ticket. Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away.
We're like there from the front and we're hoping for like amazing tickets. If we didn't get tickets, plan B is not an option, but plan B is no, I can't even imagine. Like, I really, really want to get tickets.
Fans on the run. Fans on the run.
Louis from Southport is in his last year at John Moores University. He told me how he was lucky enough to bag himself 4 tickets this morning.
I was sat in the lecture, just came across a tweet that said they were on sale today from the Echo Arena. Just happened to go on, and luckily, after refreshing a couple of times, I managed to get through and I was allowed to buy 4 tickets, 2 of them on the front row and 2 of them still on the lower tier. Total amount was £542, and I thought, what am I doing paying this? And then I just thought, it's a no-brainer, because I'd like to go, but then at the minute they're going for £1,500 a ticket. I am a huge fan because my dad used to play in a band which was not associated with them, but they used to do Beatles music, and he did know Paul quite well, so. I really don't know what to do. He'll want to go. My dad tried to ring him to get some anyway, but he can't just give tickets out. It doesn't work like that.
Fans couldn't get their hands on tickets, and they're already selling on sites such as Viagogo for over £300, more than twice the face value. The Beatles legend will make his return to Liverpool with his Out There tour on Thursday, May the 28th.
That was Camille Norani speaking to fans about tickets for Paul McCartney's homecoming gig. Now it's time for your week's sports roundup with Eleanor Finn.
It has been confirmed that Liverpool will play their FA Cup quarter-final replay against Blackburn Rovers exactly a month after the original tie. The Reds will travel to Rovers Ground in Ewood Park on April the 8th for a 7:45 kick-off. The replay comes after the goalless draw last Sunday, the 8th of March, where Brendan Rodgers' side had 70% possession and 21 attempts on goal, but only 4 of these were on target. Despite this, the Reds boss is confident that they can succeed. Liverpool will face Aston Villa in the semi-final if they can overcome Rovers in their replay, whilst Arsenal will face the winners of the Bradford vs Reading game. And Everton are hoping to put aside their poor Premiership League form when they face Dynamo Kiev this Thursday, the 11th of March. Everton have struggled this season, currently placing at 14th in the league table. With only 28 points, relegation does seem possible. Whilst their Premier League results have been disappointing, their Europa League performances have been more than impressive, making them the last standing English team in the tournament. Roberto Martinez's men will be looking to end their poor form in this week's last 16 first leg tie at their home ground in Goodison Park. And Liverpool-born Katarina Johnson-Thompson speaks of her disappointment of not breaking a world record in the European Indoor Championships in Prague over the weekend. The Olympic athlete won gold and smashed former teammate Jessica Ennis's record in the pentathlon, but narrowly just missed out by 13 points on Natalia Dobrinska's record. Johnson-Thompson set a lifetime best in the 60-metre hurdles and 800 metres and performed the best ever pentathlon by an athlete under the age of 23. Other members of the England team also took home medals from the competition. Lucy Hatton and Sarita Solomon took silver and bronze in the 60-metre hurdles, and they each ran 3 personal bests. Now, the ABA boxing finals will be taking place in Liverpool once more for the second time in the event's history next month. The event will return to Liverpool's Echo Arena on the weekend of the 24th of April after its huge success last year. The format will be the same as last year's revamped approach to the final stages of the men's senior tournament. This will include world-class talents such as Anthony Fowler and Joe Joyce, who were both expected to go on and represent Team GB at the Rio Olympics in 2016.
That was Eleanor Finn with the Liverpool Sports News for this week.
For more on all the latest news, sport, entertainment, views and reviews, follow us on Twitter at JMU Journalism and come back often.
As we enter the final part of this week's show, here's a look at the things to do in Liverpool this week. Pubs and clubs across the city are bracing themselves for the biggest day on Ireland's calendar, as next week marks St Patrick's Day. Events such as How to Make Your Own Irish Coffee is just one example of how the city plans to the celebration on the 17th of March. Lionel Richie is coming to the Echo Arena this weekend to continue his All the Hits tour that will have you dancing all night long. Tickets are still available on the Echo Arena website. The Liverpool Philharmonic Hall is celebrating its 175th anniversary this week, and events will take place across the weekend to commemorate the fact. The Youth Orchestra will play on Sunday the 15th of March to round off a weekend of festivities. And for those of you with an interest in theatre, the Liverpool Empire will play host to the show Anything Goes from Monday the 21st of March for a week. It's a brand new production of Cole Porter's classic multi-award winning musical comedy that transports you to the magical age of tap dancing and high society. That's all we have time for on the Liverpool Live podcast in a week that Garland's fans will be pleased that the club is set to reopen after the police raid. I'd like to say a special thanks to the editor Beth Antolli, and we hope you join us next week. Thanks for listening, I'm your host Ben Matthews, and all I'd like to say now is goodbye.
This has been the Liverpool Live podcast, brought to you by the journalism students at the Redmond's News Centre. More next week.